Well, good morning again, church. It's my honor and privilege to bring today's message, and it's entitled, God is Moving. God is Moving. You know, one of the things that when we look at the world today, as Pastor T.A. alluded to earlier, it is something else out here. We got people that just for some reason or another want to kill and hurt and maim kids that are going to school. I remember when we was going to school, the most you might have had to worry about was a fight, a fist fight or something, you know, but then they'd be over with all people getting an argument. But now it is killing. That's how bad things have become. And when we look at the situation around the world, and you have to ask that question, what's happening? Marvin Gaye back in the 60s called things were kind of topsy-turvy back then, and said, what's going on? That was the question in the 60s. What's going on? And now, we're 60 years later, that same question has to be asked. What's happening? What's going on? And it's all stems from the very fact that things are not like they used to be. What used to be, what we thought was normal, no longer is normal. And because it's no longer normal, we are uncomfortable, and we are mixed up in our minds. We're hearing all kinds of things being said, and we don't know what's the truth and what's not the truth. But because of social media and all these people telling us this and that, we want to know what's really going on. What's really going on? And you know what? Right here in the Bible, right in our Bible, God is telling us what's going on. He's always telling us what's going on, what will happen. And what's going to happen, and everything. And so, we shouldn't say, well, what's happening, what's going on? All we got to do is turn to the source. What are we doing now? That's the question, are we doing that? Because we did, I don't think we be asking so much that question. We look at it from a different perspective. So, let's remember, first of all, that if we are Christians and believe in God, the God we say we are, the God who created everything, the God who created us, the God that he rules and super rules, God says, I set the limits on the earth, I put this in place, and I put this in place, and I understand the stars and the moon and the sun and everything, and I understand this world that I created. I created the rain, I created the lands and seas, I created all the animals, and I created it, and I gave order and discipline to all that. And after that, I created a garden, and I put man in that garden. You see, we have to remember when God created Adam and Eve, he created for a purpose. And since he created for a purpose, he said, I'm not, this world is still mine. And let's look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 to 15. Maybe it'll help us understand why I want to remind us that God is in control. And it says, and God says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut out the heavens, there will be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people. It says, he says, now if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then and only then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attending to the prayer that is made into this place, that is made in this place. You see, God lets us know, and he makes three declarations in this passage of scripture that lets us know he's in control. He makes a declaration that people need to hear. And sometimes we go right to 14 and overlook 13. But God says, hey, I want you to know that I control the weather. He said, I can stop the rain. I can stop the rain. And remember when God, the prophet prayed, they're doing, it didn't rain for 3 years. God said, I control the weather. We sometimes forget when we get to look at it, now that we got all this meteorology and our science and everything, and we can damn it, we think we control things. We understand, so we say we can get, and we can project everything. And so that gives us the illusion that we in control. That's foolishness on our part. To think we can control the weather. That power of the wind, the waves and sea. Remember when those disciples with Jesus out there in the middle of the sea and they found out that the winds and the waves was out of their control and they had to go do who they called upon Jesus. And what did Jesus? Jesus said, peace be still. And he showed he had power over the weather. And they were amazed that Jesus could control the weather. And see, that's what I think one of our problems was today, that we forgot that God is in control of the weather. We want to come up with man-made solutions about our problems. And all God is saying is, remember, I'm in control. And if he's in control, we ought to be in a comfortable spot that go through these situations, the drought and all the various things that are happening with the weather. And declaration number two, God said, I control the food, because he said, I can the insects and frogs and other things to devour your crops. Now, I know today we've got a verse in how we treat our agriculture. We put on these sprays, pesticides and insecticides and all these things to control the food, and then we irrigate and all this stuff. But don't you know God laughs about that, because now we know that all those things we're doing was the wrong thing, and now we are poisoning the land. We poison our food, and we are poisoning trying to control what only God controls. Okay? That's the iron of, just like the weather, we try to control the well water goes and everything, and we have got to realize that God won't allow us to control what he controls. It's an illusion that we have about what we can control and what we can't control. And I think gradually some of us are starting to get the message that, hey, we got to step back and stop trying to control things and work with God, work within God's sphere of how he wants things to be. Don't try to go beyond what God, don't try to overreach. God says, this is the way things are, and I want you to work within my plan. Not your plans, because God has a plan for food. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I read a lot of articles, and now we're raising fish and farm. We fish farming because we didn't overspent the sea, and we're taking so much. I see that we're losing a lot of species of fish, and I don't know about you, sometimes that food don't taste as good as when it's made and controlled under God. It tastes different. We're trying to control, but it ain't gonna work, because there's only one control over food, and that's God. What did we do before man came up with modern farming? We went out there and worked and killed and everything and prayed and hoped that God would send the rain and we cleared the land and all stuff and then planted. And then whatever God would allow to happen, happened. As he gave an abundance, we rejoiced. If God didn't send the abundance and the drought and then they were, hey, they was in trouble. And that's the story of Joseph in Egypt when God told Pharaoh, that's going to be 7 years of plenty, and it's going to be 7 years of a serious drought. So that 7 years of drought is going to eat up the memory of the abundance. God said, I'm controlling this. And God's servant, Joseph, had enough influence, and God had given him the bill of prophesy, and he told Pharaoh what God was getting ready to do. And he gave Pharaoh a plan. And Pharaoh followed that plan. So if God is reminding, he is control. God also declares in this verse, in this passage of scripture, that he controls illnesses. You know, back in the day before all our modern medicines and everything, there was just we prayed that God would heal. No, we one of our first things, we got to pray about this. And then God would show us what we need to do. But it seems like as we've grown more and more knowledgeable about illnesses and what causes this, and if your heart's enlarged and all the different things that have in the body, we now, which is wise, go to the doctor and we find out what's wrong and they give us things to treat it. But we forgot what caused those illnesses in the first place. Man can look at the body and say, well, this is what's wrong with you. But we don't yet understand what the causes it. What causes a person to have a stroke? What causes a person to have that heart attack? What causes these things? And we got to get back to God's in control of it. This plague that we're now dealing with, the COVID-19. And it's been so much information and more misinformation we can shake a stick at. A lot of people have been told that this was something that was created by man. And it was released upon man as targeted to certain people and everything. And say, God ain't in control of this. Man is in control. Man can create diseases, and it has nothing to do with God. Woo! God have mercy, what a lie. What a lie that we now saying man controls diseases and illnesses. Back before we had a lot of us of that age, we remember when they had polio. That wasn't sent by God. That was a thing that we had to deal with. It wasn't sent by man. It was something we had to do. It's something that God allowed to inflict upon man. He had so many diseases, and now with the flu, he gives them the knowledge about the flu and everything. All these things that we now, diseases and pestilence and illnesses that we now understand, they're caused by bacteria or viruses and all things. And we have the knowledge and the tools to go through and evaluate what they are and to go through and identify and come up with treatment. But yet, we can't control the creation of them, when they attack us, yeah, God does that. But as we look at what's happening and understand the things that are happening, God's releasing all these things upon us, we need to understand that the weather, the food, the illnesses, they're being released upon us as a judgment for our sins. Look at what he says in verse 13. If I, God uses that, if I send the pestilence, if I send up to heaven, if I send the locusts to devour land, if I send pestilence among my people, says, if I do this, it's for a reason. God does this for a reason. Because he said, if my people who are called by my name, he's going to say, he's sending this to a special group of God's people. Because he knows the people that are not his are not going to know this and won't humble themselves, he said. But we need to know that we've got to humble ourselves. For a people to humble themselves, to get rid of our pride. America, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I know in this country there's so much pride. We got pride in our technology. We got pride in our, we got pride in our home. We got pride in our shoes. We got pride that we can wear these $200, $300, $500 shoes. We got pride that we can wear these name brands, purses and outfits and this and that. We got pride in all this we have accomplished. We got pride in the type of house. We got pride in the type of job we have. Because we said, we did that. It had nothing to do with God. I did that. I put the work in there. I did that. So I get to brag about this. That's why you're helping people who will say, no, it wasn't me, it was God, and they try, they're very humble about it and say, no, it was just, I was just blessed with it, so I the gift that God gave me, I used it in the correct way. But generally, most folks, a lot of them, like, you talk to a lot of Bill Gates and all these people that are billionaires, they don't even believe in God. At best, they believe in being good moral people. God says to them, my people who are called by my name to humble themselves and pray. You see, to really pray and get through to God, you got to be in a humble state of mind. You've got to release yourself of self. You got to get rid of every thought about self and realize that you're nothing in front of a God who is everything. And God said, and then you've got to be willing to seek his face. You know, seeking God's face means that you got to do like Jesus. You got to be before his presence in a very serious manner. And that means that you got to be, like Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You got to be willing to keep God's commandments. And then he says in verse 14, lastly, we got to turn from our wicked ways. You know, we may humble ourselves and we may pray and we even seek God's face. But turning away from our wicked ways is probably, that was number four. That's the last one. And if you look throughout the Bible, that was the hardest thing for God's people to do in the Old Testament. To turn from the wicked ways. He said, don't do this sinful thing. Don't do it. And they could not do it. And let's be honest, we're that same way today. It's so hard for us to turn from our wicked ways, because a lot of times we'll say, well, that ain't wicked. You know, comparison to somebody else's sin, that's not that wicked. So it's okay. And besides, it's just a little thing. So I don't have to really worry about turning from that. But God said, turn from their wicked ways. He meant everything, not just something. He meant everything. They got to turn from their wicked ways, because remember, God took them out of Egypt. They were slaves to Pharaoh. They were used to obeying order, and then God took them out and said, I'm going to teach you to be slaves to me, to be my children, to obey me, and give you a clean slate and give you some Ten Commandments. And then he says that we will hear from heaven. See, God's saying, you know, there's a condition, there's a declaration. I've already made a declaration about who I am and what I do, and that I called you to be my people, and if you're going to be my people, this is what I need from you, because it's a covenant relationship. This will do this if you will do this. And so that when you get in trouble, and see, again, it ain't will we, it's if, when we get in trouble. And God says, if you do anything, then guess what? Then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. See, we want this, a lot of times we don't understand the reason, the things of what it all out here today, because God has sent a curse. You know, I know we don't talk about that anymore, but you might think, a lot of people think, well, it's the end times, and they will accept that this is the end times, but how many of us would accept that we may be living under a curse in a land that's been cursed by God, that no longer is fruitful, there's no longer prosperous, that is rain rampant with killing and all this stuff we see, because God no longer has favor upon us, because we're not doing what he told us to do. And we pray, yeah, we pray. Not that we're not praying a lot of this, but God says, the prayer's got to have some other stuff. And when it's got the other stuff, then and only then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive the land and its sins and forgive them. And God says further, and this is the end, that he's moving in the midst of this turmoil. You know, he's released these situations upon us, on America, upon the world. The water, the drought, whatever you can think of, God is releasing the volcanoes, the fires, and all these things are just being released upon us. To me, it's a sign of God's judgment upon us that we are no longer having favor with God because we are not doing the things that require us, that allow us to have God's favor. So when you see this turmoil, it means God is in the midst, staring off. God is trying to stir. God is trying to wake us up. So what? We will repent. And when we repent, God then will show us mercy. And when we get mercy, we then have a hope that God will be with us now, but even more so, we can give a message that God, this hope, is not just for now, but when we die. See, we got to give the world hope in this seemingly hopeless situation. We got to let the world know that the truth is, these things are real. The truth is that man has no control over any of it. The truth is that God is the one who has power to control. The truth is that God will do it, but only if we humble ourselves and pray. Only if we turn from sin. Only if we repent. That's the message. That's the message that should be given. See, you know, back in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you a close. They had those same situations. God would send pestilence. God would send droughts. God would send all these things upon them. God was sending people to do remember Gideon, when the enemy was coming and devouring the land, taking everything they had and everything they wanted. Gideon said, well, God, being the God with our grandfathers and our forefathers, but what about us? He God said, you know, Gideon, I'm sending you. How about desperate situation I'm sending you. So God is still aware of our circumstances. The question is, are we aware of God? God bless you this morning.
Amen.